Welcome to Local Drag. It's a podcast about local drag queens and their thoughts and opinions on RuPaul's Drag Race and the world of drag. My name is Laveau Contraire, and I'm the Voodoo Queen of New Orleans, here to put you all under my spell. Tune in each week as I interview one of my favorite squirrel friends and recap the latest episode of RuPaul's Drag Race and give our unfiltered opinion on the queens of season 13 and Drag Race UK. Today I am joined by the fabulous, the talented Hershey LaCour. How are you?
Hi. Another day, another quarter. Ain't nothing new, nothing going on over here.
Oh my God. Yes. Another day, another quarter. So I know you from TikTok, basically.
Yeah.
I think we were friends on Facebook before, maybe. I'm not sure. But I really enjoy your sassy TikTok. And then I also love the drag. So,
thank you.
Tell us about that.
Very long, dramatic story short. I started technically in St. Louis in like 2011. I used to do like the little videos where you would where the dudes would throw on a wig but have this rough mustache and do parody videos, but we saw how quickly that got played out once the straight man got a hold of that.
Oh gosh, they can kill a trend.
Oh, girl. So but I did take getting quote unquote what I thought at the time was dressing up, I did take it seriously. So I started, like, I did my first drag experience was a pageant. Of all things, they told me I could win $500, and I'm like, oh, I'm funny, I can go and do that.
Okay.
Ran to the pageant, opened up the dressing room doors, and it's eight other queens there, and they have these gowns and hair and makeup mirror and assistants. And here I am just standing there with a dollar store palette of eyeshadow, no foundation, just my sister's prom dressed in some heels.
Oh my God.
I invited, on a normal circumstance, I would have just walked out, but I had invited 20 people up until that point.
Oh my God.
So I couldn't just leave. So I like just ran to the bathroom and started crying. Like, ah, what is this? So one of the queens came in and was looking at me and she said, oh honey, what's wrong? So I'm a blubbering mess trying to explain to her what happened. She said, you know what, calm down baby, just come back in here. Literally explained the situation to like all the other queens in the room, and like each queen like in that room gave me something to put on or wear for the pageant.
So heartwarming.
That was like my first drag experience. Yeah, it was great. It was really
wow. Great. Queens actually being nice. That is shocking. They must have knew they was going to beat you.
And the gag is I got third place.
Yes, because you know what? You can't buy talent.
Oh, but everybody was really nice. The only thing that sucks about that moment is I stopped doing drag for a couple of years after that and then picked it up years later in Atlanta.
She said one traumatic experience is quite enough. Well, thank
you. I remember walking out the building and saying, all this is too much. It will never be me.
Oh my God.
And I'm mad because I'm so good at it now. And I wish I could remember all of those queens' names and go back and like thank them individually, because they really like gave me the kick in my ass that just that in that moment. Like, I'll never
right. I'm sure you could probably find like the flyer or something. There's somebody's got to have a picture.
The club is closed. The club is closed down. It's not there anymore. I'm so sad. I really, because I like went digging for it. I was going to find these queens and like personally message them and tell them, and I can't find any of them.
Wow. Well, if you're out there, who knows who will listen to this? Yeah, that's an amazing story and an amazing introduction to drag. What made you get back into it after you took a break?
I had moved to Atlanta with a couple of my friends, and it just it came up the exact same way again. Like, a competition was like talked about, and I found out where it was. And I had a friend of mine at the time kept saying, girl, we know you're going to do drag, so you might as well just go on down there, get up and stuff, and do it. So this was around the time, I believe, Bob the Drag Queen season was running, or about to start, on Drag Race. And I was working at Goodwill, so we were selling these dresses. I brought me a little $12 dress that looked terrible. And I threw on what I thought was makeup, what I thought looked good, and made me the best mix I could, and went down there and performed. And I literally have not stopped since. That was like in 2015.
Yes, I love it. So she likes competition.
Yes.
So would you ever do a drag race?
I considered it. I'd be like, do they think, are they going to think I'm too ghetto? Because I don't, drag race is becoming very much a, you know, we all are best friends competition. And I like, oh, you know, I like old school drag where we extra shady and we mean it. Now we're friends. Like we shady towards each other. And maybe we cool. Like, if I don't like you, I don't like you. That's the drag I'm used to in Atlanta. And a little bit here in Los Angeles. Like, if I don't like you, I don't like you. We can still work the stage or work out venues or whatever. But if I don't like you, I don't like you. A lot of drag races becoming like the girls pretending like they like each other. Or they, at least that's how they end it.
Speaking of drag race, who's your favorite drag race queen of all time?
Oh, the artist formerly known as Tyra Sanchez. Tyra Sanchez.
Oh, of course.
She came in there and showed you. She is what drag is supposed to be to me. Like, she came in there and showed you what drag is really like and what the girls do. And that's why everybody was mad at her. Bob the Drag Queen, definitely, because he changed my perception of what drag is. And then, yes. Shea Coulee, because she's the her drag is the cleanliness that I want mine to be one day. Like,
oh my god, right? Like, so good, so polished.
In a way, one's my introduction, one made me, and then the other is what my future
where you want to go. I love it. We love a roadmap, okay? Oh, but I definitely feel you with Tyra. Like, she definitely gives me that old school, like, pageant queen vibe in the dressing room, getting on everybody's nerves.
Yes.
That thinks she's Beyonce. Yeah, it's very that. And you know, I think if she hadn't gone too far with it, that, like, it could have been great, but, you know.
She was young when she got on that show, and I don't think she could have, I don't think she was able to shake off what the fandom did to her.
Absolutely. And the fandom still, y'all, it's still gotta do better. Her, yeah. Like,
but her mother, her drag mother and drag grandmother are like Southern staples, like in the pageant scene. So yeah, it makes sense why she's as clean as she is.
Right. Love it. Well, what about your favorite lip sync?
My favorite lip sync? That's a good question.
I'm wondering, what answer is she going to get?
I'm going to... Like, of all the Drag Race girls?
Yes.
Oh my god, that's a good question. I can't...
If you can't do lip syncs, then your favorite just, like, moment.
I don't have one. I'm literally sitting here, like, going in circles in my head. I'm trying to think of something, like... you know what? Actually, no. The best performance moment and drag moment to me was the legendary Dita Ritz when she did This Will Be. Latrice was not lying when she said that is high drag at its finest. Like, she was performing. She wasn't just trying to stay in the competition. She was simply performing.
Okay, exactly. She was Natalie Cole.
Yes.
In front of Natalie. Like, you just can't mess up somebody's song right in front
exactly.
of them.
Exactly. I'm going to have to mark that as my favorite.
Yes. I mean, I feel like it's mentioned almost every single episode when I ask that question. It's like, Dita Ritz, of course.
She did that. Like,
And also, Trinity K. Bonet has never lost a lip sync. Just saying.
At all. Yes, absolutely.
So, this week's episode was Corona Can't Keep a Good Queen Down.
Yeah. Girl,
what did you think about that? Because it was the episode heard around the world.
They could have kept this episode in the drafts. Maybe a behind the scenes, maybe a VH1 special. You have to pay for VH1 to watch it. Maybe they should have played it at the beginning of the season. It could have been played anytime before or not at all. I did not need this episode.
Yeah, it could have been bonus footage, a bonus feature on the WoW Presents app to make people go to use that, maybe, or I don't know, but it just, before Snatch Game and after a double save, it's read the room.
I said, girl, I did not need this at all.
And it also got to me because it's like one thing if we just finished with COVID.
Yeah.
But like, we're still in the thick of it. It's not over.
Yeah.
So we don't need a documentary about COVID when COVID ain't even done yet.
We feel it. Exactly.
You know, I think that it was very dramatic and very well shot and, you know, submitted for Emmys.
I suppose.
You know, she's gonna, like, it's red Emmy to me all over.
Like, but they did talk about some 13 minutes in. I was like, oh, girl, this is what the episode is gonna be.
Yeah, it was kind of rough to get through. And we just ended up at the viewing party, like, talking about the season in general and our thoughts and opinions on the queen. So that's what we're going to do today.
Yay!
But I do want to talk about some of the things that they talked about in the special, because I thought some of it was interesting. Like, seeing the audition footage was very interesting. Mm-hmm. And then seeing how they prepared in a pandemic was kind of amazing, because we don't usually get to see any of it. It's very secretive and hush-hush.
Yeah.
So I like seeing, like, some of that audition footage where I'm like, oh, so that's what she looked like before Drag Race. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, that's not as intimidating as I thought.
I just like seeing what some of the other girls present as far as their audition tapes are concerned, because you just never know who the producers are going to pick each season and why they pick them. And I think that's what drives a lot of the girls that's been auditioning like forever. I think that's what drives a lot of them like crazy, because it's like, well, what are you looking for?
Okay, like, okay. I have to say it. I need to see Aiden Zane's audition tape. I need to see it. I need to understand. Like, what was it?
I think she was a last minute pick. I think she's one of the few girls. I think they definitely, when they cast, I wholeheartedly believe at least three of those girls are casted to be the first to go home. No shade. I mean, I think because, you know, unfortunately, I would like to see a season of like queens that slay left and right, but according to like media, that's boring. To me, it's not, but you know, to the masses, it is. So they pick those. I do feel like they pick three or four girls just like to go home immediately so they can push some of the girls through. That's how I think Elliot's getting through, like they're pushing her through. But you know, that's just me.
Yeah, I wonder how many times, like, if that is true, which we're not saying it is, it's alleged. Okay, this is all speculation, you know, for legal purposes. So what if they peg someone as an early out and then they end up doing like really well? Do they like keep them? You know, like, can you
know who I think that was for? You know who I think that was they were trying to do that for?
Utica.
I think they did that to Heidi.
Oh, absolutely.
I think Heidi was supposed to be an early out girl, and then she came in and slayed left and right, and they didn't know what to do.
And she honestly could do no wrong, in my opinion.
No, she's like, that's why, like, I think they need to change up the way they cast and how they cast, because
you're right. Like, you think it would be interesting to see a season full of slayage, and I think that if you had these people who've won Continental, these people who have done these amazing things in the drag world that we know of, you know, that regionally or, you know, even nationally, then it becomes a really tight race.
Yeah.
And it allows for the judges to get more in depth with their drag knowledge or critique.
But now, with that being said, I am not a fan. They? That's one thing that does kind of halt me from auditioning from Drag Race, because, frankly, I am not a fan of people who don't do drag judging drag. Not a fan of it.
Well,
not a fan of it all. And I don't like the excuse of, well, I've been around queens or I've been around people that do drag. That's not enough for me, because drag has just started getting popular with, like, random folks like over the past 10 years. So it's not like something that, like, just because you've been around drag queens doesn't mean you know what we do or how we do or what we go through to prepare.
That's fair. I mean, I really sincerely wish that we could have Drag Race alumni on the panel. Like, it just makes sense to me. Especially, I mean, even if you want to just do All Stars winners, you would still be very entertaining and interesting to have them on the panel Absolutely. Actually giving advice.
And then give the props, the show... props to do. Get, put those queens on, like how on the special they gave a tribute to the queen that passed away in New York. I'm sorry, I don't know her yes. name. But
Mona Foote.
I feel like queens mm-hmm. like her, queens like, why can't I remember her name? And I feel terrible because she's on the season. Tamisha Iman should not be competing on the show. She should be a judge on the show. She has a whole house. Like, we should have some of our legends who are in the business, who have been doing the business for decades, on the panel.
Oh, of course. I agree. However, Rue will barely let one of the Rue girls up on that panel with her. She's definitely not going to let somebody who hasn't been on the show. It's going to be very
in the family.
But yeah.
That's what makes me apprehensive about being on the show, because I want to hear from my, is it predecessors? Would you say predecessors?
Peers? Yeah, predecessors.
People there before predecessors. You? Yeah, I want to hear people. Yeah. I want to hear from the people that's been doing the work before me. I don't want to hear from, and it's no shade to them, a celebrity is cute every now and again, but I don't be wanting to hear from Lonnie Love.
I mean, the only person I care about hearing from is Nicole Byer. I love Nicole Byer. She can tell me that my outfit is horrible if it's horrible. She can look at me the way she looked at Lala Ri when she came around that corner. I care. Do love Keith Mason. Oh, yes. And Maddie. Okay, so the black women on the show, that's what's killing me. Okay, I love that. Bring Vanessa Williams back in.
Vanessa Williams back. I would love to see. What is the actress name? Oh my God, she was on last season and she filmed. She was like recording it while she was sitting there.
Oh, Leslie Jones. No.
She needs. Yes. She should have been a permanent. She was great.
Absolutely, she's hilarious. Okay, so to get back to this, you know, special. It's called a special episode, but I'm like, so seeing them get ready for Drag Race in the middle of a pandemic was very interesting. Mm-hmm. They obviously couldn't get all of the things. Like, imagine being like, oh, I want to do this, and then going to the beauty supply and it's closed. Like, or yeah. going to the fabric store and it's closed. What do you do? So I have so much respect for these queens, even yeah. though some of them showed up with the same outfits.
Girl. And I feel some type of way about it, but I try not to have too much opinion on it, because it's like, you don't know what they act. Like, the competition itself is already very hard. So you don't know what they had to do, pull, and get together to, like, make this even happen. So I'm not giving these girls too much. But I am like, girl, we all gonna keep on wearing the same hair and the same outfits.
I think about it sometimes and I just kind of get dizzy because it's got to be so much. Think about it. You get a list and then you have to come up with ideas and then get those executed real quick, fast, and in a hurry.
And these designers do not make it easy either. Well, I'm just speaking on LA. Never mind. Let me not speak on other cities. LA, these girls.
Right. Well,
LA, you doing them a favor. Which they are doing you a favor. But girl, if you make outfits, make the damn outfits, girl. Shit.
But also, like, the exposure that you get from doing a drag race has got to be like, come on. I mean, I guess it's also a gamble because that person could not be on the show and just.
I mean, but at the end of the day, I'll be exposure or no exposure. I'm paying you for a service. Give me my outfit.
That's true. But I feel like a lot of them probably doing favors because.
Oh, yeah, because I know it's not.
Who has the thousands of dollars just sitting aside waiting for drag?
I know for a fact it's not cheap. Especially with the.
Oh, my God.
Have you noticed yourself? I have, with the outfits and the hair, like the prices have been going up.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, girl. And I want to tell like, somebody to calm your ass down.
I mean, in just the, like, 6 years that I've been doing mm-hmm. drag, I've seen hair prices skyrocket. But, you know, there's always that one good Judy that's going to do it for for the old prices.
Out here in Los Angeles, the girls only want to work with the people that are working with, like, working in the clubs where the stuff is going to be seen or where they feel like you're going to have the following. Because it's still taking me, like, my follower count just started going up like within the past 6 months. And now I'm getting like, oh, let me send you some nails. Let me send you some hair. You need some hair or an outfit anytime soon. And it's from the same girls that a year ago I was asking, hey, can you hook me up with this? And, oh, I'll see you around. You know, I'm not taking commissions right now. And then you get online and they have three girls' hair.
I hate when they're not taking commissions.
I hate when you're lying about
like, just say you don't want to do girl, it. I can handle that.
Quit playing with me.
Okay. Anyway. So about these auditions, mm-hmm. though, how are they filmed? Like, do they just have someone with the camera running just in case?
You mean like the audition calls?
Yeah, because we see a little bit of footage of like Denali up against the fridge, like crying, and then Candy with a white Santa Claus beard. Also getting a call.
Let me just say, I really feel like they just got their number saved at some point. It got to be the same number calling them. And then they just are like on standby.
Right. And they're probably like, at this point, y'all have talked to me enough.
Exactly. Because they got to go through a couple rounds of this shit.
Yeah. I just, the stress. I'm like feeling the second hand and I'm just like, I couldn't even imagine.
Some of these
imagine.
Girls, you know, might just be like, some of these girls might be doing reenactments.
That's true. That would be so funny though. I bet you. Never mind. I'm not going to say who I think would do that. But you know, some of the girls. Some of the girls.
Be girling.
Oh, absolutely. So they talk about Candy and Olivia actually contracting COVID-19. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
I mean, at least one girl. So, listen, I'm going to be straight up. And if it ever gets out to Candy, she just going to have to be mad at me. Girl, why you lie talking about how safe you was being at that club?
Okay.
She lied. Let's just.
She's like, I was up on stage. I was so far away. I went straight to my dressing room. And I
still
got COVID.
I got COVID, girl. I don't know how I got it. Come on.
Stop. Oh my God. That's like Ashanti, how she like couldn't do the verses because she got COVID. She's like, I never thought I'd be saying this, but she was on a plane a few days early.
All over the place. You never
like,
thought
oh my gosh, girl. Girl. But yeah, so Olivia got it too. And I just could not imagine being like, what would happen if I got on Drag Race and then I die of COVID?
Oh, girl.
Before the freaking show starts. But I think Tamisha got it after.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing. Like, what if she, like, you know, didn't make it, God forbid.
But keep in mind, all three of them were in cities where everybody was outside acting reckless. Tamisha's in Atlanta, and then Candy are in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I mean, they were doing that down here too. It's like so hard to get people to just stay inside.
I mean, everybody acts like they how was hard suffering is it? Being in the house for 5 minutes.
It's, I mean, if your house is not pleasant, then that's an opportunity to work on it. You know, like I did so much home improvement. The house
Will
is clean right now.
I brought a coffee okay. table. I dressed up with some rooms. Oh, I dressed my bathroom up like I was trying to make it a little sanctuary.
Yes, because I mean, if we're going to be here, I might as well enjoy it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But some people, they just like, it ain't hitting for me. I need to be around people. So
I do understand that. I'm not going to like I didn't fully get that because I'm the same way. I like being around like people. I'm very social.
I feel that. I get that. But I'm also just like, sometimes I just want to be by
myself. Oh, yeah, definitely.
But I'm not going to also, at the same time, judge anyone who's, like, out there making their coins and doing gigs. Yeah. I will, however, say that y'all need to be wearing masks, okay? Just, that's it, period.
Out here, they definitely are opening back up, but you're required still to wear a mask. I mean, even though they're trying to lift that ban, you're definitely still required to wear a mask on the stage.
And that's what I'm worried about. Like, once this is all lifted, we're not going back to normal. Like, it's just not going to work.
It's going to be embedded in our history. It's just going to be a thing that's here in America. Oh,
you saw that all five variants are in Texas right now?
Huh?
They have all of the new ones, all of them in Texas.
Mercy. Yes. And people talking about moving down.
Which is just a hop, skip, and a jump from Louisiana. So it's only a matter of time.
You know what?
Staying in the house.
And when I was moving from Atlanta, Texas was literally one of the states on my list. I'm glad I slid past that option.
Okay. The drag is wonderful, though. Oh, the drag is fantastic. So another thing that they talked about was the rise of digital drag as a way to keep going. They didn't really talk about any of the people who kind of pioneered that, but they did mention it. And how has digital drag been for you?
It's given me the opportunity to flex my, because it's something I used to do all the time. And I kind of like got away from because I was trying to do drag on stage, but it's something I used to do all the time, and it gave me the opportunity to flex my like production creativity skills, put them together, make something happen. So I've been enjoying it was really good money when like the lockdown first started, but you know, the longer lockdown happened, then you know, people started giving us less money.
It's horrible because when it first started, I was like, see, when we go back to some semblance of normalcy, I want to see a world where there are still online shows, and if you don't want to go out, you can still catch a show if you want to like watch a show and tip and
exactly
all that.
I'm gonna start doing my I don't want to say every Thursday, maybe like every other Thursday on my TikTok.
Just doing like a live show.
A live one or two numbers, and then, you know, hopefully getting a dollar from each person that follows me.
Yes. TikTok playing with me. I got blocked for showing my breastplate on live.
I remember that.
Whatever. And now I can't go live. Like, they gave me back my account, but I still can't go live. I'm almost to the point where I want to just start fresh with a new account. Like,
I wouldn't even be mad at you. Because
I'm frustrated. I'm like, if y'all aren't going to give it back, I submitted a help ticket and no one responded. And I'm just like, okay, I'll just start from scratch and build this following up again, right back to the however
tell
many.
Tell your followers, come on over here to this new people. Page so I can get on live.
Right, exactly. I think I'm gonna like start something new when I do it so that it's enticing. I don't fucking know, but I'm not gonna let a social media network take over
TikTok
my life.
Be trying it.
That
TikTok
has been
definitely trying it.
Okay. I remember the beginning of quarantine when I was like, nope, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do TikTok just because everybody else is doing TikTok. We were like, no, we are not those girls. We do real drag, we are production girls. We're gonna record this video. And then they were like, no, the people are on TikTok.
The girls are over there, and you need to take your ass over there with them.
Well, when I first started TikTok, there weren't that many Black girls. There were literally like two or three of y'all.
Really?
Like, at least in the drag queen tag, it was very, very white. And then I went to the Black drag queen tag, and it was very, very little. So
that's crazy.
So when I started, I just posted a video that was like, I don't see enough Black girls on here, so hello. And, you know, it got thousands and thousands of views, and I was like, oh, well, maybe I should. And that's how they get you.
No, I thought I was going to be like, every one of my videos is going to be a drag situation until I start putting on the makeup. Okay. And I was like, oh, no, they're just going to get me talking some of this because I'm not about to keep on putting my makeup on every video.
Same. I don't be feeling like it, but I'm also like, I don't want to talk to y'all if I'm not in drag. So I end up batching stuff where I'm just like, I'm in drag. I'm going to record a bunch of TikToks.
Same.
So yeah. Cause they, you know, they like to see the lady.
Come on, the lady. No, some people be following me and don't even know that they're following Hershey. Don't even know like Tyrell and Hershey are the same people. So they'll follow Tyrell.
Oh, wow.
And then after a while, they'll keep seeing Hershey and be like, when did I follow you? And I'm like, girl, you've been following me. They're like, oh, you know, you're the drag. Oh, God, it's so cute.
I mean, I love it. That's the power of transformation, darling. Oh, wow. So back to this Corona can't keep a good queen down. They get to production and then they have to quarantine. I just, can we think about for a second how much these queens have been through? First, living in a pandemic and preparing for RuPaul's Drag Race in a pandemic, which can't be easy on the psyche. Then they get there and they're quarantined.
And no phone.
And then nothing. They're just in a hotel room by themselves. Nothing. And then you finally get on the show and RuPaul is playing reindeer games, talking about some half of y'all going home.
I can't imagine how frustrating this must have been.
This has to be the most tortured season.
I cannot imagine how frustrating this must have been. And then another reality show did that too. What's the name? The Bachelorette, I think it was. They did that same thing where they locked the men up for 2 weeks quarantine before they like let them on the show.
Wow. Did they turn that into content though? Oh, okay. See, that's cute. See, that could be a thing.
They gave them, but on that show, they gave them a phone. So, like, the phone was limited with the stuff that they can do. Like, of course, they had to record their experience, but they had a phone to do stuff with. So, I don't know how that worked out. But okay. I don't know. I felt like this little situation could have been an exception. Like, they should have been able to keep their phone for those 2 weeks while they were locked away in that hotel room.
Right. Well, bitch, you know, Candy be on her phone, like, I'm in the hotel room for Drag Race. I'm not Don't tell nobody. Like, yeah. So, but it was interesting to see like that some of them were working on their stretches. I saw Candy like working on a wig. I would just literally be in hardcore
prep mode
for the show. Okay, like I'm calming myself down. We are meditating, and we are.
That would have worked for me for like practicing that snatch game, and then the rest of it, I would have been jumping off the walls because I did not appreciate. I hated my job before quarantine, but I did not appreciate it until I could not work it, and I was in my house going like I was going nuts in here.
Oh my god! Yeah, it's been a lot.
Yeah,
you know, just. Everybody knows that we're not going to give you a COVID special in the middle of a COVID special. Okay. So, so then they get to set and the workroom is bigger. I was like, okay, budget. We see you. And you're doing 6 lip syncs in one episode. Okay. I see you. So then they are like around the cast and they're the only people that aren't masked. It's got to be weird. On one hand, you're already feeling like a fish in a bowl, but now it's like everyone's wearing surgical masks.
Yeah, I remember. I think it was Rosé that said like she developed a relationship with these people, and you don't even know what their face looked like, and that's crazy to me.
That's wow. Yeah, pretty ridiculous. I just can't even imagine because like the pandemic really messes with your head. And then to be going through that on TV,
I couldn't imagine.
Oh my! Oh my!
Plus the stress of,
but you know, I think that's why
stressful by itself. Jesus.
Right, and I think that's why Ru was like being extra, like, you know, jovial, laughy. She was very jolly during the walkthroughs, and they kind of show in the special that Ru was spending more time with them. Like we only see a fraction of it, but. Ru was quarantined too, so that interaction was probably more meaningful for the queens because they got a little bit more time with RuPaul. Which is
it's fun. Very sweet too. It's very sweet because we don't get to see that side of Ru a lot. You know, we hear
about him, right?
Like we don't get to see that side a lot. Sometimes I do want I kind of want to see the separation. Like, I know Ru has the face that he puts on for camera, but sometimes I do want to be seeing more of the Ru that's like...
Well, that Raven puts on. No lies.
Listen, as long as the check is clear. As long as
the check is clear. Speaking of Raven... How did you feel about Raven on that episode of Drag Race UK?
See that?
And never mind. She just existed in her makeup, which happens to be the same color as RuPaul.
Oh, I mean, that's if she's very, she's known for that. She does that. I mean, that's Raven.
Oh my gosh. And look. We talked about it at the viewing party and we were just like, oh my gosh, Her makeup is darker than Rue.
That's what? That's literally a Raven thing. She does that out here. Like, that's not a shocker to me.
And I was thinking, like, maybe she is Italian or something. No, she's like Russian.
Yeah,
or something.
She's a white woman.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot. I mean, it's old T, but I'm pretty sure you saw her old Jacked account that was going around for a while. Oh yeah. I found out about what she does with the makeup, I'm like, okay, yeah, you one of those girls. We're not shocked. Like, she was a drag queen out here in Los Angeles, so that's not a shocker at all.
Absolutely. Well, you know, white queens going white.
The girls going girl.
There's probably a queen preparing a performance of And I'm Telling You right now quarantine.
And they're going to slay it and be looking at home.
Or maybe Formation.
Don't get me started.
Yeah.
Because these non-black queens love a good black song. They don't. I'm going to go into something else. What were you going to say?
Nothing. I love to hear it because, you know. We have pet peeves.
No,
we do have
pet peeves. Pet peeve. Okay. Just when they know the song is not for them and they use it anyway and act like they don't understand why the song is not for them.
It's just the song.
Yeah, what do you mean? You're so sensitive. What do you mean? Yeah, shut up, girl.
But we are going to talk about some of your favorite moments from this season after the break. I'm done talking about this COVID special. There's nothing there. We're going to talk about how you feel about these queens right after these messages. And we're back.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about season 13. How did you feel about the double opening?
So long ago.
Basically, RuPaul emotionally manipulated the girls. Made them feel like they were going home.
Yeah, I didn't hate it. What I did not like was that they revealed to us that the girls were staying. I wish they would have made us believe that they were actually going home.
Right, that's fair.
I wish they would have gave us more of the gag. I wish we would have been in on the gag as well.
The way they could have produced the episodes that way. Or, I mean, I also think that on one hand, if you're going to do it, sure, do it. But, like, you didn't have to put the girls through that. You could have just been like, hey, it's COVID, so we're doing two different groups. And y'all will compete separately, but
no, I want them to go through it because they go, and that sounds terrible to say, but I do want them to go through it because that's the you want that genuine reaction out of them about how
I mean
feeling. It sounds tacky to say because with everything is going on, but for them to sell it to us for the next episode, I want them to believe that they're going home because that's what, like, with Denali in particular, that's what put that fight back into them. Like,
that's true. That's true. And plus, I mean, RuPaul gets that great interaction between the A team and the B team.
Yeah.
So it really just sets the season up for drama and chaos. So they knew what they was doing. They knew what they was doing. I'm just like, haven't they been through enough?
The production said no. More.
Okay, but I mean, the top girls have not really disappointed very much. How do you feel about this this top group and this bottom group?
Who is in the top group again? Because
the top group is Congratulations, right?
Okay.
And they are...
I see you scrolling here.
Yeah, wait. Why doesn't it... Simone, Olivia Lux, Tina
Burner. What's Tina Lux's girl?
Hold up.
Oh, this is entrance order. I said they telling T. What is this?
Okay, so the winning group is Candy Muse, Lala Ree, mm-hmm. Simone, Got Mick, Olivia Lux, and Tina Burner.
Okay, so I agree. They could have gave that first win to either Candy or Joey. I didn't like or hate either.
Yeah, but who's going on the A team and who's going on the B team? Like, come on.
Candy Muse definitely is going on the A team.
Okay, like the story producers probably knew before they even got there, like
definitely.
Candy got that, okay?
Bestie.
She is the moment. She is the entertainment.
Denali and Lala Ree, they were giving Denali a lot for having skates on. And I'm like, ice skates are really not that hard to walk in. If you've been in them, they're not that hard to walk in. So they're trying to get a lot.
We're lip-syncing on ice skates. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. She's lip-syncing in boots. Girl, she wasn't giving that much.
Lala Ree also ate. So, yeah.
I could have took either or in that one, but Lala Ree was definitely a group A. I honestly thought Tamisha beat Simone.
Oh, okay.
I think they wanted Simone in group A. Because I think Tamisha beat Simone.
Okay. I think they wanted Simone in group A. But I liked Simone's interpretation.
Hate it at all. But my eyes would draw more to Tamisha.
That's fair. Then Gottmik and Utica.
They both could have been in the bottom, frankly. I didn't
like I that. Think, and I maintain, that they got the songs mixed up for this one. Gottmik and Utica should have been X's and O's, and Rosé and Olivia should have been Rumors.
I could see that.
Right? Like, Rosé doing Rumors, she would have been in the top group, like, for sure. And then Gottmik and Utica doing X's and O's could have given them something campy to, like, do.
Exactly.
And it would have been more entertaining than them doing Rumors. Because I was just like, that's weird. But, I mean, maybe I could see Gottmik being like Rumors, but they're not a good performer, so they couldn't sell it.
Rosé and Olivia. I honestly thought Rosé beat Olivia. I think Olivia's another one they wanted in the top. I'm all right, in group A anyway.
They probably already prepared the package that said that, like, I was at her competition.
Yeah.
Or like, I did her competition and now I beat her, that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then Tina, Kimora, and Elliot.
So here I was like, y'all should have just went ahead and cast in one extra girl and made it another two, because this was weird.
Yeah.
But Tina Burner definitely beat the other two. I'm not a fan of Elliot's or Kimora's performing.
Yeah, no.
The video is playing. Candy definitely like reenacted her call.
just side note, Candy definitely reenacted.
She reenacted that. Oh. It just played next to this video.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. But no, you're right. So yeah, I think the groups were very well placed. Like, if you're looking at the losing team, Elliot, Kimora.
Yeah.
They give me filler. I'm sorry, rude.
No, not really.
They don't give me long run. Joey J like already came in and said filler queen. So
her space be known. At least she knew her place.
It was a lot. So yeah. I'm just like, then why are you here?
Exactly. Like,
you're taking someone good's spot. There's some so
girl, these girls don't care. They just want to raise their booking fees.
Frustrating to say the least. So then, you know, after Joey J goes home with her clucking and bucking, we get to there was Kimora Hall, if you can call it that. That was a massacre.
I wasn't really interested.
Yeah, I mean, beautiful gowns. Literally beautiful gowns. Yeah. But then Joey J, then we get to Tamisha Mon. How did you feel
when I thought Candy should have went home.
Wow. I don't think that Tamisha should have been in the bottom.
I don't think she should have been in the bottom, but if they're going to put her, I saw why she was in the bottom and up against Tamisha. Okay, so being clear, they both did a terrible job at that lip sync. And what beat Tamisha Iman is that she didn't know the words. Because right. Candy was not doing that good. Candy is not that great of a performer to me. Like, she is not doing a good job, like, performing these songs.
Yeah, it's a lot of, like, I'm super emotional.
She, like, performs. Like, she's going to punch you in the face. This is what I see. Like, yes. This is what I hear when I see her.
She is the DMX of drag.
Girl, like, pull back.
I would love to see her do like a soft ballad moment. I feel like she probably only has like two switches. It's like sexy or aggressive. Sexy or aggressive.
Sexy is a stretch, but okay.
No, I think that, you know, like, I think she'll put on the sexy face and do her, like, when she did her beaded runway. She was very sexy then.
Got you.
Let Candy live.
I'll let you have that.
So yeah, Tanisha Iman went home and it was a lie. I just thought that she had so much more to give, but I think once she let them know, I don't know if she let production know before that day that she had the ostomy bag. I think when she let them know, they were like, oop, liability yeah, back.
Exactly. She shouldn't have said it. That's what sent her home for real, for real.
Right. Like, I think Lala Ri, you know, she knows why she's going.
Yeah. Lala Ri, she came as far as we could get her.
Right. Well, I think that on that episode, like, she, you know, had that horrible, horrible outfit and won that lip sync. But I don't think that they forgot. And it was just like, you better step your cookies up.
I don't think that they forgot, though.
Okay. Or else it's out of here for you, because we haven't forgotten what you tried to pull down that runway.
Cause girl.
But we love you, Lala Ri. I just learned that Lala's name is Larico. That's so cute, Larico. Hey, Larico. Oh, Lala oh. Rico. I get it. Lala Ri. Genius. It makes sense. That's so cute. So then we get to the girls that are still in the competition, because we've only eliminated four.
And we've been doing this for, this is 8 weeks.
It's so it's much.
This premiered on New Year's. It is March.
Jeez. So Rosé and Denali, they are constantly safe, constantly overlooked. What do you think about them?
I don't think Rosé is overlooked. Okay. I don't think Denali is overlooked. I think they're...
Oh, wait. Looking at this track record, let's refer to the track record. Denali has safe, bottom two, win, high. Mm-hmm. Okay. Rosé has safe, high, top two, win. Mm-hmm. So never mind. Denali is very safe.
I'm about to say, I think they're both exactly where they're supposed to be. Like, I think what holds Rosé back is her outfits. I do not like any of her runways. I do not like
any of them. I don't like them. Not even the one with the day and night look.
The day and night look.
The like lady in the van.
No.
I like the red one.
All her looks get. I don't know what it is. They're just not vibing with me. They're giving me very tacky.
Yeah, I don't know. And I think that might be kind of her vibe, but yeah. I don't know. It's, I don't want to say anything that I might regret.
Dan, drag, like if Dan was a sickening drag queen, she's definitely somebody's dad as a drag queen.
Not Dan drag!
They did a video where they like recorded her in the background like dancing to every lip sync battle, and she's adorable dancing to every lip sync battle because she has this little offbeat rock and it is so cute. So that I don't shade her for.
Oh my god!
But after I saw the dancing, I was like, "You're a dad! Like you have that you're somebody's uncle."
Oh, right, the gunkle, the gay uncle.
Yeah, like even the way she walks down the runway is like somebody. Put her in drag, not her look, like her face, like she's beat.
I know what you mean, yeah. And I don't know what to make of it, because every time she walks the runway, it's just like so stiff, and yeah. I'm just like, what is happening? Like, she's just so close.
It's very clumsy.
Like, she could be, I think she's one of the ones that's going to come back on Drag Race for All Stars and really show out.
You think so?
Oh, I think so. I think they're going to have Jan and Rosé on the same season of All Stars.
I heard about them too. No, because I think Jan is on this season of All Stars.
Oh, is she?
I think she's on this coming season.
Oh, that's such a missed opportunity. I would have them on the same season.
I think she's on this season of All Stars.
Put them against each other.
Damn.
Okay, well, we'll see how that shakes out in the coming weeks when that is announced, because we all know. So then we've got Elliot with two T's, mm-hmm. our problematic white girl, not favorite. What do you think about Elliot? I just don't understand, first of all, how we're here. Like, how...
The thing about it is, what's fucked up for me is, like, I don't dislike Elliot's drag. She's a very clean drag queen. And she's borderline, old school is not the word I want to use, but she's slightly dated. There's something just a couple of years behind with her. I don't know what that is, but she's very clean.
Right.
She's very much a queen of the 2010s. Uh-huh. So I will give her that. But other than that, like, she doesn't pop. There's nothing special about her.
Yeah.
She wants to be this very, what's what I'm looking for? She wants to be that popular girl that everybody loves and subscribes to and is checking for. But there's nothing really special about her. She's boring. Yeah. She's even quiet about it in one episode. And I'm like, girl, you're not interested, girl. So nobody really cares.
Right. Well, it also feels like it's kind of like put on, like she's like doing too much. And it's just like, you're not being yourself. That's why. Like, if you would just relax. But I mean, I have nothing for Elliot because of all of the
I've been
racially insensitive.
Yeah.
Like, no, sweetie, you need to read the room and you need to learn and shut your mouth, because she's clapping back at people who are trying to tell her what's wrong with what she's doing. And it's like, you're not going to get anywhere with that. And also, you say it's clean. I call it simple.
Simple. It is very simple. And the only reason I say clean is because she never has anything out of place. It's never sloppy.
That's fair, but it's just so basic to me, it seems.
I mean, some queen, I want to add that. That's what's scary about Drag Race, is because a lot of people expect a lot of drag queens to be over the top, and a lot of us are just simple gals.
That's fair, but I think this is kind of like the drag.
Like, my performance is over the top, but I feel like my drag itself is very simple.
I feel like this is like the drag Olympics. Right. It feels like it needs to be, like, if that's what it needs to be, then maybe this is a competition for people who, like, put a cap on it, people who've been doing it for however many years. Mm-hmm. That way you can build up to having what you need for Drag Race, and it's not just like you have a lot of money and you've been doing drag for 2 years to get all of this fancy stuff. Because then queens, like, you know, you say yourself, mm-hmm. don't get to shine as much, because you might be a stunning performer like Dita Ritz, but maybe you can't do the same things on the runway that the other girls in the competition
now
are
with
doing.
That being said, now I agree with everything you just said. With that being said, you also got to learn how to make what you do pop as well.
Yes.
Extension cord. You also got to make what you do pop as well. And I think that's...
Absolutely.
I think that's what she's struggling with. Is she can't make... Because, like, another queen that I think is a little... Basic is not the word I want to use, but very simple in her drag is Lala Ri. Lala Ri doesn't do too much with her drag, but her personality and her performance pop. So it, like, kind of overshadows that she doesn't have to do much with her actual outfits. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think it showed when she was talking about getting ready in the COVID special. She was like, I'm a bodysuit queen. So to have people designing these clothes for her was hard. And I'm like, okay, that gives me expectations of what a bodysuit queen might look like on the race. Because we all remember Bob wearing like that robot costume from Amazon. Right. On the runway. And still won the whole season.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I'm the same girl. Like, and I'm a bodysuit queen. More so because I can't afford what drag has become now. Not because I don't want to be extra. But that's just where a lot of our drag is. A lot of us, you know, are just the girls that you see that show out on stage. We don't have the 12-foot, you know, hats and shit. Where I'm going to put that in my box apartment in Los Angeles. So I...
Especially in the middle of a pancetta.
Exactly.
Like,
so I get it, but Elliot needs to give me more. I don't see it for her, like, as a performer.
It's just... It's frustrating to me because I feel like there are so many other people, like, that had a little bit more to show, and I just don't get what Elliot is bringing to the table storyline-wise or drag-wise, so it's just like, why are you here?
She a white
but, you know,
woman.
Snatch Game is coming up, so we'll see.
She a white woman.
Well, there's that. So, then we have Olivia Lux, Tina Burner. There are other New York queens. What do you think about them?
Olivia, I'm just gonna give, everybody loves her. She's not giving me too much. I'm gonna have to let her grow on me, because I'm not interested.
Wow. I like it. I think that she's really showing out for a baby queen. Like, she's doing a really great job. I like Olivia. I think that she's going to make it to like the top five or four. I think so.
I think so. Yeah. I think I can just really tell that she's a new queen.
Yeah.
Something about her. I look at her. I'm like, okay, yeah, you are new at this.
Right. It's not the drag though. The drag is immaculate. The budget is right. I don't know how she did it, but.
No, definitely not. It's not the drag. I think it's just like a, you know, we've been doing this for a while. So I think, you know, you just look at a girl and be like, okay, you kind of fresh.
Right. Yes.
I think the first time I saw it was when she performed against Simone. And it was just some of the performance decisions she was making. I was like, oh, I used to do that.
Yeah, I feel you. And on the other end of the spectrum, it's Tina Burner. She's been doing drag for a long time, but she's only 39. I didn't realize that.
I think her drag is dated. Her ideas are great, but her costumes are dated.
But she is also dated. I think that, like, I love it, though, because she's the campy queen, you know?
Yeah, but it's something that's not current about it. Not that that's always a bad thing. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think there was something current. Thing.
It's just... Yeah. Katina's somebody I want to see it for, but I don't.
I feel you. She's not, yeah, I just,
I'm looking for something out of her and I haven't found it yet. And I think she was almost there during the last challenge that Rosé won. She was almost there, but she just didn't quite get it.
I think that she is so like talented. I think that she's like, you know, pretty much a legend in New York, but it shows, it gives me what drag is, or like what drag real, like at its essence. Because if you saw her in a bar, she would eat, you know? She would be that old queen that like's gonna come out and tear the house down. Yes.
I want her to grow on me. I don't want to see her go yet. I think she does have a lot more to give.
Okay. I hope so too. Speaking of, I hope she has a lot more to give, it's Utica. What do you think about Miss Utica?
She's scaring me. She is scaring me because she started off really good to me. Her outfits to me have always been on point. I don't give a fuck what the judges are talking about. She has not missed a runway outfit yet. As far as the performances during the challenges, she gets lost for some reason.
Yeah, that's her downfall.
She's getting lost.
I want to see her succeed so bad so I can see what she has next to show us on the runway, because it's so good. She's just so good. And that sleeping bag costume.
Come on. Like
you made that? I would have just been eaten up by that fabric. Eaten up.
The curtain outfit. Come on.
Yes.
My God.
Like, you did that in the pandemic?
My God.
Wow. So yeah, we love Utica here. Love that. Mm-hmm. And then we have Got Mick. What do you think about Got Mick?
I don't know yet.
From LA. Oh, yeah. I mean,
I have not seen her anywhere. I don't know which pronoun. I'm going to say her because in drag. She said her in drag. So I haven't seen Got Mick out here.
Not Got Mick.
So I don't know. That's another one. I'm like...
Yeah. So I think that they're not doing horribly in the competition. They're doing really well on the runway.
Yeah.
But in the challenges, it's kind of the same with like Got Mick. I mean,
Utica.
With Utica.
Yeah.
Because I feel like she's not really
sort of serving. Flatlining. Yeah.
Yeah, like even the times when they love it, like in the improv challenge, I thought that was all Olivia.
Yeah, it was.
Like, sure, you were narrating it, but she made it easy.
What did I miss? Oh, and I didn't want to miss Simone. Miss Simone.
Her name's Simone and she's here for the throne.
She's good on the... Something is missing.
What do you think it is?
This one's hard for me to say because I'm not a fan of coming for people's drag aesthetic. So I don't want to feel like I'm doing that. But in the outfit departments, while her outfits are cute to me, very good, very clean, very together, they're not giving me drag.
Okay.
And I hate I hate having to say that because everybody's interpretation is different, you know what I mean? So it makes me
right. We're not saying it's not drag, but I know what you mean when you're saying it's not giving me drag.
Yeah.
It's giving me very much fashion. It's giving me very much
yes. Give me looks.
You know, this young lady really knows how to put together a look.
Yes, she absolutely does.
But it's not giving us like drag.
Yeah, it's giving me young lady.
Mm-hmm. Fashionista.
Yes.
Very fashionable lady. Okay.
Fashion.
And, you know, that is a valid type of drag. I'm glad to see that, especially because it means that you don't have to spend as much money on everything.
Of course. And it's something new. And I think it's been 10 years with Drag Race. I think we're crossing a threshold to where, like, drag is about to start. It already has in many ways. Like, it's transforming and looking different to us. So that's why I said I don't want to say that it's not. It's new. It's something new for me to look at. Because the drag that I'm accustomed to, as well as am in love with, is everything about the South, God, especially pageant queens, God.
Yes.
The updos, the context, dramatic makeup. Oh, dramatic lashes, all brows.
Of it.
Oh.
All of it. I love it. See, and I want to like bridge the gap between those two. You know, I started out around a lot of pageant queens, and then by the end of it, I ended up with all the like weirdos in the alternative scene, where I love it so much. Dang. And I love blending the two because that's where you get to like really show out.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been a very interesting race. And I still say Simone is my front runner. But who do you think should be in the top?
Definitely think Simone is still a front runner. I think Denali is going to surprise us.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard that one.
I think Denali is going to surprise us. I'm holding out for her. And that's coming. That's a lot for me because when Denali first walked in, I did not like her. I didn't. I think the top
feeling icy, feeling spicy.
I think the top three is going to be Denali, Simone, and Olivia.
Oh, this is a different one. Okay.
And
okay.
I think I did not see this. Rose, I'll give her some time, but she's giving me one note. I don't think she's going to progress from here.
Think they're going to give her a jam?
Huh?
You think they're going to jam her?
I think so. I really do. I don't think she's going to progress from here. I think this is as much as we're going to get out of Rose. But I really think the top three is going to be Simone, Denali, and Olivia.
Okay. I see you. I feel like Simone, at this point, I'm with Simone. I think it's going to be Got Mick, okay. Simone, and I'm going to just throw a curveball and say, no, I'm going to say who I want it to be, Utica.
Okay.
But I think it's going to be Tina Burner. No, Candy.
I don't think Candy's going to make it two more weeks.
Oh, she said, clock's ticking.
I don't think Candy's been in the bottom too many times at this point. I don't think she got two more weeks in her. Three at the most.
I don't know. I think she's been the personality of the whole season. She's very much giving me like Adore Delano.
If they say like, her it's going to be because of her personality, not because of her drag and performance.
Who? Well, we'll have to see. because... Oh, wait. And also, if they do a lip sync for the crown, they might do like the old way and do a 2v2. So it might be a top four.
I would hope so.
We'll see. I want to see a lip sync for the crown for sure, because God Mig won't win if that's the case. anyway, so... so next episode is Snatch Game. This is big.
Yeah.
Because...
this will make you break.
It could be... yeah. It could be really good or it could be really bad. And I'm trying to see... okay, we've got all the characters here. So if you don't want to hear the spoilers, this is where you can go ahead and like fast forward. But I'm going to read you the list of celebrities that are going to be impersonated. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, so Denali is going to be Jonathan Van Ness,
never heard of
you know,
him.
From Queer Eye.
Oh, okay,
He's a gay guy from Queer Eye, or a gay they them from Queer Eye, because I think that they came out as genderqueer, gender fluid. I'm not sure. Anyway, Elliot with two T's is going to be Rue McClanahan.
Bound to.
I just don't think she has the personality to pull it off, but maybe she'll surprise us. Then we have Got Mick, who is being their actual real life friend, Paris Hilton.
I can see this going either way.
If you do a bad job at impersonating your friend, then like,
are y'all really friends?
Right. And also, this sucks to me because the privilege, the ability to just be like, hey, can I borrow this?
Exactly.
It's for my snatch game. I'm doing you. Like,
and Paris had to go in. Couldn't imagine. Totally.
That's hot. Then we've got Candy Muse as Patrick Starr. I'm going to scream because this is perfect. I don't know if she could do the voice, but she could probably do the face.
I'll wait and see.
I can't wait to see it. Olivia Lux is doing Tabitha Brown. And that's her business.
That's her business.
I think it could be good. It also could be really
bad. Yes. Yeah.
Speaking of could be really bad, Rosé's doing Mary Queen of Scots. We get it. You're Scottish.
I think she might be able to pull that. I'm intrigued.
I just worry because like that Nomi thing was like a hard, but it wasn't like laugh out loud funny. So I'm kind of worried, but we'll see. I'm nervous for you, Rosé. Then we have Simone doing Harriet Tubman. Is this going to be a hit or is this going to be
If she tells the right jokes. This can be, I can see exactly how this can be played, but I don't.
It's a great idea.
And she is, and Simone has proven herself to be funny.
Right. I pray that she is funny enough.
I can see it working.
Then we get Tina Burner doing Richard Simmons.
This hits
so hard for me. I had a teacher in the third grade that would make us move all of our desks to the side of the room. And then we would do Richard Simmons like aerobics tapes like every day.
Oh, girl.
It was a lot. We would be like stretching. I mean, maybe it was like every Friday. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but you know, all I remember is I was exposed to Richard Simmons at a very young age. And I'm not going to say that it made me gay or a drag queen, but it's feeling very full circle right now. So Tina Burner is going to be Richard Simmons. I think that could be really funny, as well as Utica being Bob Ross. Why the hesitation, Percy?
I don't know.
I think that, okay,
everybody's having a character where I would have to see it happen because I'm still just like, it's giving me like, I just see... I can see where it'll go bad. These are all, I don't know. Everybody doesn't
have those funny
personalities that a lot of the queens had in previous seasons. So I can't really see any of these girls doing what they're trying to present. So I can see it going either way. That's why I'm like, we'll see.
Yeah, I feel you. And what worries me is Utica in the improv challenge.
Yeah.
Because if that's how Bob Ross comes out, then grab it, keep it.
Yeah.
But if she like plays Bob Ross like super chill, then I think it could be really funny with like some offhand comments and just like, you know, like it, the jokes write themselves. I'm really excited for Patrick Starr, Tabitha Brown, Harriet Tubman, Richard Simmons, and Bob Ross. Rue McClanahan, Jonathan Van Ness, Mary Queen of Scots. Mm-hmm. I don't. And I mean, even the Paris Hilton, like, I know what that's going to be.
It's very much a meh.
I don't think anyone's going to surprise us. But who do you think is going to be in the bottom two based on that?
I know Elliot for sure is going to be in the bottom two. There's no doubt in my mind she's going to be in the bottom. And if she's anywhere else, but.
Yes! Oh, God.
I think the person joining her in the bottom is going to be either Got Mick or Candy.
Ooh, okay. I think it's going to be Utica or Rosé. Or to not. I'm just thinking about who I want to go home next. Because like I'm just like, I don't see Got Milk not doing well. And I think Candy Muse makes Rue laugh just by like blankly staring at a wall. And Rue's just like, this is the funniest shit I've ever seen. But I think that's going to work for her. I think she's going to be able to make Rue laugh.
I'm excited. And that's really what it's about. We should have saw this last week, but sure, I'm excited.
Oh, gosh. I was so frustrated when I saw that there was going to be a COVID special on the week that I have Hershey Liqueur, because I'm like, now we, like, there's no shit talking to be had because we're talking about COVID. You got to be sensitive to these things. But it ended up being a really fun time. I hope you had fun at the viewing party, even though it was all crazy. Good. And I'm excited to see where your drag goes in this journey, to keep up with you, and also to see your hilarious TikTok fights and content.
Thank you.
I said fights first because we know how TikTok streets get. Oh, but thank you so much for being a part of this podcast and being a part of the viewing party. I hope you have a great night.
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
No problem. And hopefully once this is all over, we can actually work together in person because I would love to. Yes. Well, thank you so much. Have a great night. And any last words?
Keep it cute or keep it on mute.
Absolutely. Yes.
Good night.
All right. Bye.
All right, that's all for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and I can't wait to do it again next week. Anchor allows you to send in voice messages, so check out the link in the episode notes if you have any questions or comments for the show, and we just might respond to them on air. Until next time, keep it cute, keep it real, and don't let anyone steal your joy. I'm Laveau Contraire, and this has been Local Drag.